Up to this point, you may have wondered why all of our applications look exactly the same. Well, there's two good reasons. First of all, I'm not a graphic designer, so if you're relying on me to come up with some unique aesthetic look, I'm sorry, you'll be waiting a long time for that. It just isn't going to happen. Okay, but second and more importantly, for our purposes here, by default, your applications are going to use the user's theme selections whenever they chose it on the phone, as we looked at on day one. This lesson is going to explain how that all works and how to utilize the user's chosen colors within your application. Then we're going to look at how to break the rules and choose your own colors and fonts and other settings. And then we're going to look at, more importantly, how to combine collections of custom settings that you've created into styles that can be used either on a single XAML page or across your entire application to give it a distinct look. So, as you can see in Visual Studio, I have a new project created called Understanding Resources. The only thing I've done up to this point was added a button control. And at first, all I really want to do is just pop open the emulator and click the start button so I can get to the settings page, or more specifically, the theme page. I'm going to change the background from dark to light, and I'm going to change the accent color to brown. And I'm going to hit the start button again, and I'm going to hit the little arrow again, and I want to go back to our application Understanding Resources. And you'll notice that the background of our application is white and the contrast color is black. We don't see brown just yet because we haven't used that accent color on our application specifically anywhere, and we're going to do that in just a moment. But how did this all happen? How does this work? How does the application know that the colors have changed on the phone? Well, let's do this. Let's take a look at the XAML. Let me move this over here so we get a good look at it. If you take a look at our phone application page, there are several properties set, like font family, font size, and foreground. You can see that they have a special setting with an open curly brace and a closed curly brace at the end. The word static resource, and then next to it, a word that begins with the word phone, like phone foreground brush, or phone font size normal, or phone font family normal. All right, these are property bindings, or it's often referred to as well as binding syntax. So this command is binding the property values to various elements on this page, like the font and the foreground color, to static resources that have been defined by Microsoft. A resource is any reusable value in Silverlight that has been set in one place and then used wherever it's needed. It's kind of similar to cascading style sheets in web development. One file defines a style or a look, and then all the pages on the website can borrow that style for its particular needs here and there. In this specific case, let's take a look at this bottom one here, the foreground. It's using phone foreground brush. It gets its color from the selection that we made in the theme screen. Now we can programmatically use the color selection by the user from this point on in our application by referencing that resource, that static resource named phone foreground brush. So before we do that though, let me ask the question, what is a brush? Well, think of a special paintbrush that could be used to paint an entire room a single color with just one stroke, or it would paint it using a gradient from white to red to black, or a special paintbrush that could paint as you just, you know, move the brush around and fill a whole wall, it automatically paints a photo. Okay, so that is a brush. It's used to just think of a definition for a color or a definition for a background of something. Whenever you see the word brush, just think color, okay? And then also, we've already kind of hinted at this, but that special nomenclature with the opening and closing curly braces with the word static resource inside. That style of setting a property is called binding syntax, and you see that all over the place in Silverlight. It's common to Silverlight. You see it whenever you bind data, or in this case, when you're binding resources, and a lot of other cases as well. So as you learn more about Silverlight after this series of videos, you'll probably keep finding new ways that that binding syntax is used, but they're all generally following that same pattern, that same syntax pattern, okay? So where exactly are these static resources defined? I mean, if we were to search our project, we would not find a mention of phone foreground brush anywhere in our project. Well, they're embedded resource files that are already on the Windows Phone 7 device itself, and they're referred to as theme resources. You can't modify the themes or the style definitions within them, but as a developer, you can choose which of the themes that you want to use, or choose not to use any of them at all if that's your prerogative. So consequently, the themes are just simple XAML files, one for each combination of dark and light backgrounds, along with each of the accent colors. So if you want to know more about this, there is a great page on MSDN. Just open up Bing and search for the words theme resources for Windows Phone. And when you search, I think the first entry should pop up with that exact title. And you'll find a listing of all of the various theme resources that have been created. And if we just scroll down and down and down and down, I mean, there are, I don't know, dozens, if not a couple hundred, of these various settings that we can pull from the phone and use within our application. And those are defined again on the phone itself. We just make use of those resources by accessing them similarly to how we do right here in that phone application page with the binding syntax. For our purposes, we're going to keep it simple, and we're just going to use one of the resources that are defined on that web page, and it's called Phone Accent Brush. And that'll give us access to that accent color, that brown color that I selected in the Windows Phone 7 emulator just a few moments ago. So suppose that I want to add an accent color to the button's border. Well, to accomplish this, I have a couple of choices here. The first is that I could just directly type the XAML into the code editor, or I could modify the properties via the properties window. Let me start within the code editor because I think that that's probably the simplest at this point to comprehend. I'm just going to move to the very end of this line of code that defines our button. You can see the selection caret around the button. And now what I want to do is choose the border brush. And so this is going to select that area that defines the outer rim of the button itself. And I'm going to set it equal to, and then I'm going to open up a binding syntax. I'm going to call it static resource space, and then phone accent brush. Now, if you take a look to the left, you can see in the visual portion of the designer that we automatically get a blue binding around our button control, which kind of brings up an interesting issue. Why isn't our phone now using the white background, and why is it using a blue accent as opposed to the brown accent? Well, Visual Studio uses some default settings in this case. To my knowledge, you can't reset these other than explicitly selecting specific colors through the properties window, like we'll do in just a few moments here. If anything, this just emphasizes the fact that Visual Studio and the emulator, they work together, but they are two distinct applications that otherwise have no knowledge of each other. But more importantly for our purposes is to discuss what just happened. The border, again, that portion around the button. The brush, again, think of color. We set the static resource. We're about to bind this property to a resource value, and we set it equal to phone accent brush. So I picked one of many pre-created phone theme styles to bind this property to. In this case, it'll be the accent color chosen on the settings theme accent color screen. One small note, if you were to spell the name of the resource incorrectly, you'll see a blue squiggly line. So if I were to just delete the H on the end of this, IntelliSense will let us know that it was unable to resolve the names of the resource at design time, and so it'll give you a little bit of feedback. I think that's pretty neat. So I'm going to take the same tact with the foreground property, which in the case of the button control modifies the color of the content property. But to do that, I'm going to work with the properties window itself. So I'm going to make sure that it's selected here, and then I'm going to go over to the properties window, and I want to go down to the foreground property. And now that I've found it, I want to right-click on this little advanced properties little icon here. I'm going to right-click and select Apply Resource. And when I select that, it's going to show me a list of all of the various styles that I can choose from that have been pre-created for the phone. So if I can scroll down and I can look, some of them are going to apply to fonts, for example, some to apply to colors. And some are settings, widths, and things of that nature. What I want to choose is this first one, the phone accent brush. And when I do, notice that now the text on the button turns to that same blue color. And so if we were to then look at the XAML, we can scroll over and we'll see that our foreground property is set also, static resource, phone, accent, brush. So those are the two ways that you can modify the properties in the code window and in the properties window for whenever we're trying to use binding syntax to set, in this case, then to a static resource, the phone, accent, brush. All right, so just to complete the loop, I'm going to run the application. Let's see what it looks like now. As you can see, we have the border and the foreground property of our button are both in brown, so we're able to use that accent color successfully. Great. All right, so let me do this. I'm going to go back to our foreground property here on our button, and I want to show you another feature. I'm going to right-click the advanced properties one more time, and I'm going to select reset value. And when I do, it basically removes that property from our button. The button text turns back to the white color, which was the default color for our foreground, apparently defined by Silverlight. You can also see that it's set now to white here in our property window as well. And I did this to introduce the next topic. You might be wondering if you're limited to only those colors that were chosen by the user, whether the foreground color or any of these colors that were here in the resources that we saw in this little pop-up. And the answer to that is no, you're not just limited to these colors. You have many different options as far as that's concerned. So what I'm going to do, there's a lot of different ways to modify the colors. As a general rule, though, you typically want to use those colors that are chosen by the user, show respect to their color selection. They may have a reason why they want that. It's a general rule to respect the user's selections and only use the colors that the user has chosen. However, you may be of the mindset that rules are meant to be broken, and if that's the case, then you can use any values that you want and ignore the phone themes altogether if that's what you want to accomplish within your application. So again, I'm going to do this mainly with the designer window. And as I use the little arrow key that pops under, you can see that, and let me bring this up a little bit so you can see more of it. We get this window that has four tabs at the top. We can set a null brush, a solid color brush, a gradient brush, or an image brush. By default, it's set to the solid color brush to the color white with 255, 255, 255, and then alpha transparency channel set to 255, meaning that there's no alpha transparency at all. Now, you may be familiar with some window sort of like this. I mean, you can choose then the color family and then move this little cursor here around to get the color to a deeper blue color. I can type in the hexadecimal value or choose one of several pre-created named color values. I can change, again, the opacity. I can use this eyedropper to choose a color that's already been defined on Visual Studio or on my background. I can change around the RGB colors using sliders, or I can type them in individually. Okay, so there's a lot of different ways to modify the color on this solid color brush. The same is true with the gradient brush. There are a few additional options. You can create a series of stops. For example, I'm going to choose a stop here and move the color to red. So now we go from a black to a red to a white by just clicking in here and adding a new stop. I can also add a stop right by using this little plus sign. I can swap the stops around to move it from black or white to red to black instead of black to red to white. I can move how deep I want this red into the gradient, whether closer to one side or to the other. I can also change the direction from a horizontal gradient to a vertical gradient, and I could even make a radial gradient out of it. But I'm just going to go ahead and keep it selected here at the vertical gradient. Notice when I do that, when I make these changes, that they're reflected here on my button. Now, before we move on, let me just show one last item here, and that is the image brush. So if we were to select an image from our hard drive, let me just add from our pictures folder in the sample pictures, I'm going to choose tulips and click OK, and then click OK again. And now you can see that the word button is etched out on top of this image of tulips. So that's another neat effect. However, what I want to do for the moment is to go back to our gradient brush because I think that gives us the most variety here. I'm going to add a stop by clicking on it. I'm going to move that stop. I'm going to change its color to red. And then I'm going to observe that change here in the designer. It's pretty much what I want. So I'll go ahead and click off of that. And then I want to look and see what was created in our XAML code. As we remember, everything we do in the properties window will affect XAML somehow. So what we see is in the button element, a foreground property is created as another element, and then within that, we have the creation of a linear gradient brush object with endpoints and a starting point. And it defines three gradient stops with a color and the offset from 0 to 1, and then at some point in between 0 and 1, where there are additional stops. And so that's applied to our button now, and if we run our application, it'll ignore the brown color from previously, and it'll use this funky gradient that we've defined. Now, let's suppose for a moment that I want to use this same linear gradient brush that I defined in other buttons that I add to my application on this page. What can I do to make that happen? Well, I'm going to scroll back down to the foreground, and I'm going to right-click on the advanced properties one more time, and then I'm going to select this extract value to resource. And it allows me to name it. I'm going to leave the name as foreground one, but I could give it a more creative name that's more descriptive of the purpose for this. And I can choose the destination, whether I want this on the main page.xaml or whether I want it in app.xaml. I'll talk about app.xaml in just a moment, but the difference is this. If I want it to only use it on this page, this single page, this color that I've just created, then I'm going to choose main page. If I want it available to the entire application, then I'm going to choose app.xaml. Because I want to walk through this demonstration slowly, I'm going to choose this first option, this main page.xaml. I'm going to click OK. And when I do that, two things happen. First of all, as you can see, the definition for the gradient went away. If we scroll down to the right of the button, you can see that the foreground is now set to a static resource. It's set to a static resource called foreground one, what I named that resource in that little dialog that popped up just a moment ago. Where is it defined now? Well, if I scroll all the way to the top, you can see in the phone application page, there is now a phone application page dot resources element as a child to phone application page. And it defines a key named foreground one, a linear gradient brush named foreground one that contains these gradient stop colors. Okay, that's pretty cool, right? So now, just to test this idea out, let's do this. I'm going to grab another button and drop it onto my designer surface, just anywhere. I'm going to go over then to the foreground property for this button, and I'm going to select a resource. I'm going to apply a resource. Now I have two options here. I only see the foreground one, which is that gradient, black to red to white. If I were to drop this down, I could also see all the system resources that have been defined as well. So there's this little roll-up capability here. I can even, I think, search for the names of various resources if I have so many in my project or so many in the Windows Phone that I can't find it, but I know the name of it and I just want to select it really quickly. And this also will turn on and off the file groupings, okay? But I'm not going to use that for the moment. What I am going to select is the foreground one, just double click it, and now we can see that our new button has the same foreground setting as the old button. If we were to look at the XAML, its foreground is set also to the foreground one. Okay, pretty cool, huh? Okay, so what if there are multiple properties for a given control, like my button control, that I want to apply to? So in this case, I want to have the button as the text to be read and the border to be read too. I'm going to use that in a number of places throughout my page or my application. How can I apply multiple settings all at the same time? Well, to do that, we're going to have to define a style, which is a collection of property setters. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up and I'm going to actually remove this linear gradient brush completely. And what I want to do is create a style. And I'm just going to give this a silly name like Bob's Style. I'm going to give it a target type, meaning I want this to be used for buttons. And so here I'm going to define the property I want to set on a button. In this case, I want to set the border brush. And then I'm going to set the value. So it's a series of property value settings. So I want to set the border brush equal to red. I'm just going to pick one of the predefined named colors. And then I'm going to create another setter, property equals foreground, value equals red. Okay, so I've defined a style. Now, how do I use this style within my button? Well, let's go down to our buttons, both of them. In fact, I'm going to move this over just a little bit so I can see a little bit more of what I'm working on here. And what I want to do is, first of all, I'm going to get rid of the border brush and the foreground properties on both buttons. And then what I want to do is set the style equal to static resource Bob's style. And I'll do the same thing for the other button. Now notice when I did that my foreground and my border turned to red on the button right here. That's pretty neat. And we're about ready to have it happen to the next one, and it does. Great. So that's excellent. We've defined a style which will allow us to set multiple properties for button controls that apply that property to themselves using the style property. Okay. Now, what if I wanted to use this style across my entire application? Well, let me go ahead and cut that out, and I'm going to open up the app.xaml file, and it should have an application resources section. If I paste it in there and save everything, if I go back, it still sees that style that we created. Let's go ahead and run the application, and we can see that both of our buttons now have that style applied to it. Okay, to recap, in this video we demonstrated quite a lot in the last few minutes, just how to tap into the user's theme selections using predefined static resources. We talked about binding expression syntax. We talked about static resources and conceptually what resources are, and we even created a resource of our own. We looked at the different types of brushes and how to use them and define them using the property editors. We talked about extracting a property's brush definition, and we created a resource out of it. We looked at creating a style local to a page, and then we extracted it out to the app.xaml file to make it global to all pages within our application. All right, so just a couple of notes before I close here. First of all, every control has a vast number of properties that you can modify, and I can't possibly cover them all here in this brief lesson. Chances are, if there's a will, there's a way to change the colors, the spacing, the fonts, and just about anything else that you can imagine. So you should take some time to investigate each property until you find that combination that accomplishes exactly what you need. The second thing I would note is that there's a reason why the black background with white accents is the default. On an LED screen like the Windows Phone 7 supports, more white or light colors requires more battery life. So this is why you don't want to just hijack the color scheme. If the user decides to use white, that's his decision to waste his battery and his resources. He shouldn't be forced into doing that by the developer. Okay. Having said that, there might be some level of compromise. You could allow some level of configuration on colors within your specific application. A note-taking application may just look right if it has a yellow background, because that, combined with some clever graphics, mimics a real-life notepad that the user might be accustomed to writing on and understands that visually. You could default the color but allow the user then to modify the color options and then keep those values stored in isolated storage, which we're going to talk about a little bit later today on day 3. And then the third thing that I would note before we close is that there's more to creating your own styles. For example, if you collect together a bunch of styles together, you can create what's called a theme, just like the themes that were created for the phone itself. So perhaps your application would allow its own theming, and you have several themes that are built, and you allow the user to select one of your themes. The theme would contain style definitions for all controls and all text that are used within your application. There's also the ability to create control templates to modify every single thing about the control itself, even the hover and, more specifically, the click animations that happen whenever you push down on a button or whatever the case might be. But these are outside the scope of this video. They're a little bit more advanced. There's a bunch of videos and articles on Microsoft and the internet at large about this very thing. So hopefully that will send you on your way, and now you understand a little bit more about all of these ideas about how to visually change the appearance of your application using XAML and using the designers. All right, we'll see you in the next video.